This is Rad Radio, a show so bad that the absolute worst team in Major League Baseball decided they had to move to Sacramento to class up the joint. Go A's. As for Rad Radio, here comes more suck.
Got a few follow-up emails working our way through the entertainment pile. RAD at radradio.com. A couple of big shows that are available to stream right now. Caitlin wrote in about Fallout on Amazon Prime. Says, hubby and I binge-watched Fallout last week. First two episodes are aight. It definitely got better. Would be happy to see a second season. All right. Well, I got through the entire first episode. Again, really gory. And it's like one of those shows I'm watching going, I should like this. But I'm kind of with Kyle. We were talking about oversaturation of British accents in other shows. This one doesn't have that. Maybe it's just too much post-apocalyptic stuff. Maybe it's like, okay, I've had enough of this.
Yeah, I mean, it started off with The Walking Dead, and then there's the Book of Eli, mm-hmm. of course, but there's so much of it. The only thing I can't do is when I watch them is I get stuck in that mindset, especially after watching The Walking Dead. I think that the world is still post-apocalyptic afterwards, and I have this weird, eerie feeling about myself that I can't kind of shake it afterwards.
Could it be the lack of like character development and getting invested into certain characters, or maybe actors just not really pulling you in enough?
Yes, for me, definitely. Yeah. In this one, I was like, oh, okay, so... Oh, they're going to take the daughter, so the dad locks her in the safe room, and then okay, why do I care? Is that Fiona from Shameless? No, it just looks like her. No name on this one says, I just finished watching Fallout Friday. What really had me hooked, other than the storyline, was the music used throughout the episodes. That and the fact that there's a head that gets cut off at one point. It's a pretty important part of the story.
Damn.
Okay. Spoiler alert.
Hey. Yeah, I mean, not really.
You know what else? The other one that's with the end of the world that came out, that we all loved, You Get Bit, right?
The Star Wars guy, Pedro Pascal.
Yes. And
Last of Us.
Yeah, see, that's another one of those.
Yeah. Enough is enough.
And
Brianna wrote in about the other one on Netflix with the British accents that I'm just like, I'm in a moratorium. I'm pausing. I'll get to it. But she says, Baby Reindeer is intense. It's a stalker show that has a Beef-esque vibe. Remember Beef, the road rage show?
Yeah.
The way these two people just rip apart each other's lives and the reasoning for it is crazy. Well, it is very Beef.
Well, and it's based on a true story.
I hate English accents, and I had no problems understanding it. Yes, top of the true story stuff, people. I don't have time today to go off on how dumb that idea is.
But it makes it more intriguing when we're like, oh.
And I love
based
how
on a true story.
People defend it because the guy who's in the movie is the one who's writing it. It's like about an experience. Really? Of all the people that can tell you a true story, the person who experienced it isn't at all going to jade the actual events. Come on, guys, grow up.
That's what I thought was funny. In the beginning of the show, it says based on a true story, and then it says written by, and I'm like,
The guy starring it and controlling it.
He's like, ha ha, you only get to see my angle.
Greg says, Baby Reindeer is an interesting watch. I think Kyle hit it on the head to where you can't look away because it's so crazy. But it also does venture into mental health and sad stuff. All right, so there's two big ones. A lot of people wrote about the other big one last night. We got this from Mike. It says, the roast of Tom Brady was absolute gold. Jeff Ross went hard. Kevin Hart went way out of bounds with making jokes about Giselle and her new boyfriend. And I give Tom Brady so much credit for taking it so well. It was probably the best roast of all time, hence the title. I'll pause and we'll come back to that. We got this from Josh. Says, the roast of Tom Brady was absolutely hilarious. Kevin Hart came out swinging right away. It seemed like the old days where no one was afraid to get canceled, and it was pure comedy and legendary. Okay, I think that second one kind of highlights the people that are loving the... Okay, look, here's my take on a couple things that were already said. Kevin Hart did not go out of bounds at all. This is what a roast is supposed to be.
Thank you.
Of course, the Giselle and the kids were going to be... You're an idiot. There was no out of bounds there at all. Although Tom Brady thought there was out of bounds at one point when Jeff Ross made the joke about Tom Brady offering Patriots owner Robert Kraft a massage. Mm-hmm. And Brady's caught on the hot mic coming over saying, don't say that crap again. I think Brady's wrong, but I know where that comes from. I find it ironic that he was more interested in defending Robert Kraft than he was his ex-wife or his poor parenting skills,
right?
Which is the joke of the night.
Right.
Yes. I think, you know, Robert Kraft, he's almost, he's mid-80s, he's sitting there in the front row, Brady views him as the second father of his life, and since Robert Kraft was exonerated from the whole massage parlor thing, I think Brady was like, I'm going to defend this old bat. He's wrong, he's still wrong, I don't think he handled that well.
So how much of it was do you think was actually real versus part of the show? Because I saw this part again this morning as I was just rewatching clips, and this was the last one I saw, so it's fresh in my mind. The way that Tom Brady does the goes up to the mic and goes up to Jeff Ross and says, don't do that again. It wasn't like, hey, man, I'm pulling you aside. It was very overtly like, I'm telling him not to do that again.
Yeah.
So it looked to me like it was kind of part of the bit.
I'm holding out hope because I had that thought in the back of the head. I'm glad you mentioned that, that will come to fruition today or so where it'll leak out eventually, because I would hope that that is all part of it.
Yeah, I had the similar thought, and I was also thinking maybe it wasn't because of the way Kevin Hart came on afterwards and was like calling Jeff Ross a bitch, being like, oh, look at you brown nosing up to him and everything, because he was apologizing for it.
Well, see, I saw that part too, and I think that that was just because Jeff Ross was making the appearance of walking over to Tom Brady after Jeff Ross was doing his roast and saying, oh man, thanks for being a good sport. And it so by visual, it looked like he might have been like calling it all back or buying it all back by saying, Tom Brady, I'm so sorry. That was just all for fun.
It happened so fast. Honestly, I didn't even like give it much thought. It just came over, happened so fast. And the other problem about it too is that we don't have the wide shot of things.
Yeah.
Like I don't get to see Tom Brady having an uncomfortable look on his face that's genuine, if that's too much, and trying to figure out that point at which he's going to jump up, right? So we don't have that. And it happened so quick. And then I was like, oh, it must have been because of the massage thing. And then it moves on. And with Jeff Ross, I'm like, boy, that's a Dawn move, right? Like, I would say all the things and then be like, you know what? How many times have I texted any of you? Yeah, you know, just kidding. I love you, right? So, like, that also felt genuine for me that Jeff Ross wanted to say that joke and that genuinely Tom Brady was offended by that. But after I can think about things, I had that same thought, Rob, where I'm like, not his kids. Well, they didn't go really after his kids, but, you know.
His parenting.
His parenting, yeah. Thank you. Not his parenting, not his wife,
nope.
But
not blanking his sister?
Oh,
nope.
Man.
Nope. And by the way, all of that, it's a roast, which, by the way, that gets me to my other point. Those of you that are saying that it was hilarious and nobody's going to get canceled. Okay, there were hilarious moments. There was a lot of bad crap, too. Why can Tom Segura do great stand-up, but he can't do this? That was awful.
Yeah, with Bert Kreischer. Yeah.
He was on stage with Bert Kreischer reading the whole Brady is Hitler bit. Oh, that was terrible.
Yeah, that
mind-numbing. No reason for Kim Kardashian to show up and read jokes.
Which they all booed her, which was great. Did.
Yep. Okay, I didn't get anything out of that. I don't benefit in my life by watching Kim Kardashian get bored.
No,
booed,
it was
but
no
whatever.
Benefit, but it expressed how maybe a lot of people were feeling, how you said, why is she there, right? And they, like, boo her.
Okay, well,
you know, which
I could ask the same thing about half the people they let roast.
Well, she dated a bunch of football players, right?
There you go.
She kind of had
there was that rumor with her and Tom.
Why, exactly. There's your answer. Yeah, why was Will Ferrell there as Ron Burgundy, which was awful?
She showed up to the Justin Bieber roast and did the same thing. So I think they're kind of incorporating Ron Burgundy like they do Jeff Ross. Shows up to the roast.
It's no good.
It's tired.
It's not. Yes, it's tired and it's not funny. And Will Ferrell as Will Ferrell would be a lot better if you're gonna do it.
I love Will Ferrell and I love Ron Burgundy. I don't know why he was there. Like that did not make sense to me. No. But I like seeing Ron Burgundy, right?
I
had enjoyment seeing Ron Burgundy. But why he was there, I don't know. What was the point? What's their backstory? They just wanted to bring out a big name because it's Tom Brady. I don't know.
And why
was it Ron Burgundy that they brought
because
out?
Because they're doing this stupid shtick that Kyle's alluding to.
Yeah.
And again, this goes into the whole, oh my God, people aren't getting canceled thing. There's a nostalgic thing about it because if you actually go back and just watch it through, he's not funny. You can tell Ferrell is like, he didn't bring his A game at all, and it got so old so quick.
There were parts that weren't funny, but there were parts I was laughing.
No, there were a couple of good jokes, but again, to say the whole thing was hilarious. No, it wasn't. Not when you have all of these bad moments that you can point to out of it.
Yeah, you're right. I was super disappointed with the Bert Kreischer, Tom Segura thing as well as you. Like, I got there, and I started to talk a little bit, and I'm like, really? Are they just trash, or like, what's going on? Are they just not write good jokes?
Well, and you know, okay, this is a deep cut. Kevin Hart, he's done so many interviews and documentaries. I mean, he's really been so open about his life. And I thought Kevin Hart did a great job. And he also, I think, learned on the fly how hard it is to do something live that he's not in control of.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, obviously he's a pro at being in front of millions or whatever. No problem there. You got somebody in your ear yelling, Phil, Phil, Phil. You could tell he was like, okay, I'm learning here. But when Segura and Kreischer were done, Kevin Hart said only one thing. He said, "Wow, wow, wow. I don't know the documentary. I was trying to look for it." He revealed sometime over the last decade. He said, "If you ever hear me say wow three times after something, it means it was awful."
Really?
Yeah. No, I mean,
that's his crutch.
Great.
It's his thing. Yes, it's his crutch. Yeah. And now it's like this label. And I was like, he just clowned them without clowning them because it was so awful. And all of the back shots, they showed almost no cutaways. Mm-hmm. The back shots that you could see of people were like stone faced, like off, as opposed to, say, Nikki Glaser, who killed it, proving that women can be funny.
Oh, my God. Yep. She was hilarious.
You must. I am ordering you as a friend, not as your boss. You must watch the Nikki Glaser segment.
So funny.
Hysterical.
So funny. Okay, this makes me feel a little better because some of the folks, I just didn't know who they were. But my husband's like, oh, they're popular with this or that. And so some of it I just was like not even paying attention, lost interest. And I'm like, okay, I'm old. I don't know what the new funny is, but people must be loving this. Okay, but I don't get it. But I felt like, for me, I felt it started strong and then it just went downhill.
Bingo.
And it made me so sad because I'm like, poor placement of everyone. And Rob, is it Rob Gronkowski or Ron?
Gronkowski.
Rob Gronkowski.
Okay, yeah. The jokes for him, they're not jokes. They're real.
No, he's an idiot.
He is an idiot. And he had, I'm sitting there going, okay, you know what? Now this is a bad idea. This is Tom Brady. And now this is becoming foolish. You would want something great for someone who's the GOAT. And now this is turning into, I don't even know, junior high. I mean, he was so awful. He was beyond awful. And I'm like, how are we recovering from this? How can this now become a GOAT thing?
Well,
because, oh my God.
To that point, was it somebody was in, was it this guy? Danny had a bunch of comments. Okay, I don't know. It wasn't Danny, but somebody, it didn't need to be 3 hours. Let's start there.
No.
We can all point to the hour you can cut. Because it went right downhill when Randy Moss went up there. And Kim Kardashian, that whole menagerie. And it went on for like 45 minutes until they started to recover a little bit.
Oh.
Ended with Peyton Manning, who did a great job.
He did.
But let's see. Kim Kardashian, Nikki Glaser was amazing. Okay, we covered everything in his email. The one that most people are talking about, though, is Ben Affleck.
Oh,
because
what the holy hell was that?
Twitter X, whatever we're calling it these days, fell apart last night. Over both things, his performance and his appearance.
Yeah, I didn't recognize him. I did not recognize him. I'm like, is that okay? I know it's Ben Affleck because you just told me it's Ben Affleck, and I can see some of Ben Affleck, but I know sometimes when people age, they will look different. But I mean, he did not look like Ben Affleck at all whatsoever.
No.
If I passed him on the street, I would not think Ben Affleck, and so. As this person is speaking and doing terrible, you can't even give him like, there's not even the appeal of there's a major movie star up here because you don't recognize him.
Hmm. Did he go under the knife? Did he get plastic surgery?
Everybody's trying to figure it out because, and here was the thing is people were distracted by his appearance and a lot of people went back and listened to his attempt at a roast, which wasn't a roast. It was him yelling at people that use social media against Tom Brady. It's like,
oh my God,
could you be more of a boomer?
And truth be told, I couldn't watch this full roast because I have a family at home and a 9-year-old who can't overhear this stuff. So I tried my best to listen to it with my earbuds in.
Any of that.
Right, yeah. So I honestly had to dip out after Jeff Ross. So I caught like a lot of some highlights this morning, as much as I could. Had no idea Ben Affleck was there, so I just pulled up a picture of him, and it looks like he's losing weight for a role. Like, he's going to be in Survivor or Castaway 2 or something. Is that... He just looks like he's emaciated.
I don't know. I haven't seen yet if he's, posted a reply like, guys, I'm playing an emaciated person in 3 months.
He did look like he was coked out. I mean, all of his mannerisms and his face, he was sweating a little bit, and the way that he was moving around a lot, and it was just super fast. Hmm. Like, I was like, did he just go in the bathroom and just knock out some lines?
See, usually I would disregard things like that, but we're talking about Ben Affleck. This is not a rookie. This is not somebody who's not used to crowds, lights, things like that.
Plus,
point. I hate Ben Affleck, so I would love to hear these cokeheads.
Just looks like it.
It's a great point, Kyle, because I had the thought, not the coke thought, but that's a good one. I sat there and I went, okay, people can hate him, but he knows how to act and he knows how to deliver lines. He's been doing this for a really long time and he is not delivering these lines at all whatsoever. He knows pace. Like, whether you like him or not, he is an educated actor. He knows what he's doing. Yeah. He knows how to pace. He knows where to land. Where he didn't do any of that at all. It was like long-winded, no pausing, no structure, nothing. And oh my God, it was so uncomfortable. And then he just walks off stage. What the hell was that?
It was terrible. It was really embarrassing.
It was selfish. His dialogue was selfish because he was also, I think, a little bit talking about him and J-Lo and all the grief they get online.
Yes, it was all. A shadow ops.
Yeah, and I don't like that.
I hate that you do this to my wife and me, but I'm going to say, don't do it to Tom.
This is not about you. This night was not about you. It's not for you. It was for Tom Brady. Shut up.
Keep the emails coming about the Brady roast. Looks like it's breaking records on Netflix. Speaking of Netflix, Jerry Seinfeld's Unfrosted dropped over the weekend following the two rival cereal companies, Kellogg's and Post, as they compete to create Pop-Tarts. I hear from the reaction people found it funny. Good for you guys. Not me. Not in any way. Yes. I mean, there were some funny moments, kind of like the Brady thing, but they were few and far between. This was pure garbage. I'm with the audiences that have been polled, the critics. Just absolute trash.
So I could see why you didn't think it was funny. And if you're a Jerry Seinfeld fan and you're going into it wanting it to be barrel laughs, heady jokes, you know, like it's not going to be that. And I appreciated it and I enjoyed it. Mm. I only got to see about halfway to three quarters of it before I had to finally pass out last night. But it was very, like, an homage to like an older type of time when they made it reminded me of like a Looney Tunes episode where it was very fast talky. Everything was really clean. And like I liked the style that it was made, but the humor did not land with me. And I think it stands on its own. It's almost like a kid's movie, honestly. Like the way that I watched it, it was almost something that you would watch with the whole family.
That might be why I didn't in any way like, because believe me, I if it wasn't for this job, I would have turned it off after 20 minutes. It was so retchingly painful for me to even try to get through. I mean, Hugh Grant, funny as Tony the Tiger. Bill Burr, funny as JFK.
Yep.
End of list.
I was going to say, when I started watching it, I kind of had the mindset of like, okay, Jerry Seinfeld did the B movie. It was a kid movie. Maybe this is meant to be a kid movie, especially with the ravioli scene in particular. I mean, that kind of had nothing to do with it, and they kind of teased it at the end. But I was like, all right, obviously this is a kid movie with adult humor in it.
Very adult humor. I mean, this isn't something your nine-year-old should be watching, right, Brando?
No, I mean, but also, like, I could see a family sitting down together and enjoying it. Like, if you're letting your kid watch this type of humor, yeah, I could see them getting away with it.
So, the ravioli stupid, I don't know what the hell the purpose of was for any of that.
Like Chef Boyardee.
But this is the whole thing, and it becoming a lot. It was just dumb. That was dumb and stupid, and I didn't need that at all. Overall, I enjoyed it, and I had definitely laugh out loud moments, but it also stalled and didn't go anywhere, and there was a lot of nothingness that didn't need to be there, but like intertwined with the nostalgia. That's what I think it really was for me, in the way they went over the cereal and just the different things. I don't know, were cute, and there were things that definitely made me laugh, but it did get slow. And just things that made no sense. Mm-hmm. And you're like,
hey,
why?
If you want nostalgia, watch Air. Like,
but it was funny.
All right, the Michael Jordan movie. There's tons of nostalgia. Oh, and it's a great movie. This was just crap.
I could not say from beginning to end this was great. But overall, I did laugh. And it entertained me.
I can say that it only got a chuckle out of me in the Bill Burr and a few of the Hugh Grant movies. Maybe at that point, which is what, 15 minutes in when Hugh Grant shows up, I was already so pissed off I was going to waste an hour and a half of my day that I was not able to laugh at.
I will tell you one thing that this movie did do for me was made me crave cereal nonstop. Like, I just wanted to eat all of the cereal.
What it did to my husband and I when it was over, we looked at each other and we're like, we need to go get Pop-Tarts. Like, we literally wanted Pop-Tarts. We didn't go get them. Like, the craving passed, but we really, I haven't had a Pop-Tart in a million years, and I'm like, oh my God, this is one big commercial for Pop-Tarts. Because everyone's going to want to go buy them.
Made me want to get a spoon and force myself to vomit. Couple quick notes, by the way. I can't believe I have to say this, but no, this isn't actually the true story of the Pop-Tart Wars.
Oh, somebody thought that?
In any way, at all. None of it. Seinfeld himself, in all of his interviews, has been going, I can't believe I have to tell you this, but no, there is nothing real about this. Nothing at all. Nothing. And not even the names. Like, the only name that's legit is the... Hugh Grant's alter his name as an actor in Tony Tiger that really weird name that's the real name of the guy that did the Tony the Tiger voice. Other than that, there's like zero. I mean, oh yes, Battle Creek, Michigan. Like nothing that was actually real.
The Melissa McCarthy character who got pulled from NASA. That's not the same.
That never happened.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Oh, what about the whole like at the end where they talk about the sales of the pop tarts? Where they're like, oh, I just put $5 million for the Pop-Tarts are out, and then they get the phone call, and they're like, oh, they went off in like 60 seconds.
Oh, yeah, yes, there was a run on, okay, yes, Kyle, but none of it is a true story, and I don't know if that exact fact happened. Okay.
So
I don't think that Pop-Tarts sold out in 60 minutes across the country, but I would be more than open to double-check that, but none of it's based on reality at all.
When the movie was over, and then they're doing the credit stuff, they showed...
Oh, I had clicked out. Okay. But I could not get out of that as fast enough.
They showed real footage of the Post lady.
Oh, cool.
Who was the first CEO of... And that was amazing. And they talked about her. And it's like, oh, that's cool. And they're showing real footage of her. But not any correlation to the story we just saw, right? Just that this is her and she existed. And then it said... Because of something with her name and whatever it was, that she created Mar-a-Lago. And I was like, and at the moment they show that, I'm like, okay, is that true? And underneath they're like, that is a true story.
Right. Yeah. Because that's the only true thing in the whole thing.
Everyone's going to be like, wait, did that really happen?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Rob. Anybody. And Dawn. The Rob. Anybody. And Dawn Show.